How concerned are you if you are in the education system? Are you a teacher? Are you a parent? What information have you received from your school, whether it's a public school or an independent school? It's a conversation that is going to continue as, of course, more cases, I suppose, come to the fore as far as COVID-19 is concerned. We're joined now in the studio, and we always appreciate it when people come to the studio. So thank you very much for popping in by the Executive Director at the Independent Schools Association of Southern Africa. That's, of course, by Lebogang Muntjane. Lebogang, always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you. Good morning, Bongwani. Good morning, listeners.
So you heard me speaking to SATU's General Secretary there, Mungenwa Maluleke, saying his 267,000 members are a little confused about what to do. Where are your members on this? Where are your teachers?
Our schools have been, we have been communicating with them as ISASA since February. So we sent out a notification on the coronavirus, and I know that many schools have actually communicated with their schools, with their communities directly. And I think then on Friday we sent out an even more elaborate notification once we knew that one of our schools had been affected, which is Cowan House.
So, all right, by the way, let me make it clear to our listeners that if you've got a question, if you are a parent at an independent school and you've got a question about what you have been communicated, what you've been told, or you've got, you're not sure, if you're a teacher within an independent school, give us a call as well on 011-883-0702. We'll try and deal with some of those questions. So you talk about communicating with your school communities. What are you actually advising? Because I kind of hear what the minister is saying. She's saying, listen, you can't just shut a school because somebody coughed, right? But also, even if your worst fears around that suspicion are confirmed, there's a protocol to do this thing. You've got to be able to know who is this person at that you suspect. How were they exposed? Who have they exposed within the school community? And you've got to be able to contain it in that way. You can't just shut a school and everybody goes home and then you've got no idea what happened. That makes sense to me.
Bongani, I would agree with the minister there. So in our cases, so we have had three cases in one of our, in three schools. In the first case, the father was confirmed to have the virus. Then the school decided to close for a period to figure out what they needed to do. So today, Cowan House, for example, was closed on Saturday, on Friday. They cancelled activities for the weekend. And yesterday, they put plans into place and they're opening up today. Grayson Preparatory School was only informed on Monday because one of their teachers had been contacted by the National Department of Health and Communicable Diseases. I don't know which of the government bodies contacted her and said she had been in contact with a confirmed person with virus. They then elected to close tomorrow to figure out what are the next steps. So they're planning to open up, I think, between Wednesday and Thursday of
this week. The
minister
doesn't seem that keen on that plan. She's like, but why are you closing the school? You didn't follow the right protocols.
Well, I think that for us is that as independent schools, we really do need to make sure that we are confirming the cases in our community and following the health and policy criteria. But I think that, Bongana, what we do need to do, we're going into a flu season now. Often people come in with a bit of a flu, they say, no, I've got a bit of a flu, and then they come into work. I'm really encouraging everybody, especially in our schools, not to come into school if you're not feeling well. So Cowan House, for example, all students are going to be tested for temperature just to make sure that anybody who's flu-y should be staying home.
What happens to boarding schools? I mean, we know a number of independent schools run boarding facilities. If you're a parent and your child is at boarding school, you're listening to this, your eyes must be popping.
And I think that that is why I think that what I'm supporting is that once you know that there is a confirmed contact within your community, communicate with the with your whole school and your stakeholders immediately. Tell them what you're going to do. That's why, for example, none of our schools, Bangani, have said, we're going to close down, we're not going to open. They're saying, we're closing, we're going to do a deep clean of the school, we're going to communicate with our community, and now we're going to put things to proper protocols. And we have to also, important this, everybody needs to know that how we're going to combat this. Hygiene has to be improved. And I think within ISASA schools, for example, now, if at a Cowan House, they're going to get a professional to come in, talk to all of the pupils about hygiene, washing hands, making sure that instead of three times, four, five times a day, hand sanitizers, if you have them. But actually, because people are going all to the shops and just taking all of them, soap and water is the way to go. And I think that is what I think that is how we're going to be able to combat this.
Pray tell me how, I mean, I know you're speaking about independent schools, which are typically better resourced, but how does a rural school that barely has running water, that doesn't have adequate ablution facilities, how do they begin to practice what you say?
Do you know, I think I have to say that, Bongani, yesterday what I was impressed with when I did meet with the Department of Health in Gauteng, they have a health team. So, for example, they've dealt with situations of meningitis, which can be quite contagious and lethal in young people. They've done with measles, where people are not all vaccinated. In fact, when they asked the school, you know, what happens in our schools, we were like, well, we make sure that immunization cards are actually part of the admissions process in independent schools. So the all departments of education in the country, the provincial departments, have a health team, and they have protocols of coming into schools and resolving current things. But also, don't forget this, Bongani. This virus doesn't affect young people the way it affects
the older folks.
People.
Yeah. But obviously, we know that there are people within school communities who are indeed the more typical patient of this thing. We've got Wendell on the line. Wendell, in fact, you don't support the action that was taken by Grayston Prep. Good morning. Hello, Wendell.
Hi, Bongani.
Hi, go ahead.
My point is that rules must be followed. In the time that it took the school to communicate with parents and stakeholders, they could have utilized part of that time to communicate with the department, which the rules they know, or they ought to have known, that they should have made this contact, and they should have sought permission to close down the school. The problem is that we cannot have a situation also of anarchy in terms of administration of schools, in that a school can unilaterally decide to close without following proper procedures, because it sets a bad precedent that other schools will follow suit, and all around the country schools can suddenly decide to close, and there are rules to be followed.
Okay, Wendell, that's your view. Where's the sweet spot between what Wendell is saying and what the minister's arguing, and the other concern where schools don't act in time because they're now being cautious?
Bongani, we have to remember something. Independent schools are independent. In our country, the South African Schools Act states the minimum number of days in which a school can open. If independent schools are complying with that minimum requirement, they are free to actually close as a precaution. Also, it must be remembered, independent schools do not follow the same school, some of them do not follow the same school calendar as public schools. So we've got schools, public schools have a four-term calendar and others are three-term.
Sure, yeah. Sure. So I get that, but what I'm saying is, where's the sweet spot between making sure you're following the protocols and, you know, you're dealing with the process as prescribed by the officials, but at the same time, not going completely the other way and being too cautious and not acting in time?
You see, I think that for us, Bongana, unfortunately, I know that you're answering me that question. Independent schools are independent as the Constitution provides.
So they can do what they like.
They must do so, but they must do so based on what is the law. If you're in public school, you cannot do anything without permission from your provincial Department of Education. So Grayston, Cowan House, or any other school are independent. They have a duty to their community and to make a decision.
Johan, you're in Springs. What do you want to say about government school protocols?
Yes, I just wanted to ask, the ministers talking about we're following protocols, but there's been no communication in terms of what protocols to follow if somebody's ill, anything like that, for the school specifically. So when you or you go onto the Department of Education website and you type in schools or protocols for coronavirus, there's nothing that leads you to get information on that. I wonder if you can give us some answers on that.
Okay, Johan, you're in Springs. Thank you for that call. I mean, yes, you're here, of course, on behalf of independent schools, but there are going to be worries about what to do generally.
You know, I think, Bongani, what we are seeing is that the Minister of Health is very busy telling people what to do. Immediately when the Cowan House situation was actually was communicated, the Department of the Minister of Health went to Cowan House. They invited schools from the community, including public schools, to communicate with them and tell them what they needed to do in each case. So even though things may not be available on the website, the department does communicate with the schools that are affected.
Are we thinking at all about, at some point, e-learning, people, you know, having their kids learn from home via online methods?
Actually, Bongani, that's a good point. Actually, many of our schools are have the capacity to do flip classrooms, as they're called, and actually overseas, people are actually learning that way. And I've seen clips in China where students are actually doing their lessons from home, and that is the way that many of our schools are starting to put those contingency plans into place.
So as we wrap up our conversation, what's your advice to concerned parents, to concerned teachers, firstly, I suppose, in the schools you represent, but even more generally, what is the thing that people should be thinking about in measured ways that are not about panicking, but at the same time are about taking responsibility?
Bongani, the first thing is hygiene. If you have been to a country or have been in contact with somebody with a confirmed case of coronavirus and you feel flu-y or you have the symptoms, inform public health officials first, then inform your school, and then obviously they will then let you know what you need to do and where you need to go.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for popping into the studio. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Lebogang Muntjana, the Executive Director at the Independent Schools Association of Southern Africa.